How is it going, ladies and gentlemen? Isaac Edelman here alongside EJ Farbman. Look, it's that type of the year. It's college football. Some people like this better than the NFL. So us college football fans take this very passionately. And so does EJ. EJ, how are you doing, my man? Doing great, man. And look, I think you're going to be doing better if the Canes have a better season than last year, because the Canes are one of those historic football programs. And when you go 5-7, maybe for some teams, that's good. But for the
it won't take much to get us better than last year. Hopefully, one win will do the fan base.
And EJ, I just want you to start off by talking about Mario Cristobal's first year last year and what we can expect. And is he on the hot seat? Because this is now his second year and the Canes need to have a winning season.
Last year, you know, there was for the people who know Miami sports and what we dealt with the Manny Diaz group, it was a rotten culture. Like it wasn't fixated on winning. It was fixated on glitz and glamour. It was fixated on show. It wasn't the traditional Miami. Those kids weren't going. I know that they thought what they were doing was the best way, but they weren't going out there and competing like the players of the past would when they put on that Miami Hurricane uniform. Even when Mark Richt was there, even when Al Golden was there, it was a really bad atmosphere, in my opinion, when Manny was there. So I tried as a Hurricane fan, I tried to give the ride off to Mario from last year, because he had a lot of those same kids on the roster. And so obviously, like, a 5-7 write off is not a great write off. I was hoping for a minimum, at least bowl eligible, 7 wins or so, at least bowl eligible. But I think this year, skating into the future, he's laid down his foundation and he's laid down his expectations. And there's not gonna be any playing around going forward. If you're not here to do the job that Miami has granted you the opportunity to do, you're gonna be replaced. And you start to see some of that turnover last year. You're gonna see probably some more of that turnover this year. You're gonna see, players are gonna be playing for that emblem on that helmet like they used to.
Yeah.
And you're gonna start seeing that the players they're recruiting, you know, the make the crib great again. I'm not a big fan of sayings, but if it's what's gotta motivate the kids to do the job that the Hurricanes of old used to do and get them checked in to the savage physical and mental game that football is, I'm cool with it. But going forward, like, you know, with Lance Guidry and Shannon Dawson, the two new coordinators, I'm A-okay with them. I think they've got a lot to prove. They got a lot of grit to them. I wasn't a big fan of the staff last year. I thought it looked good on paper, you know, Charlie Strong and Kevin Steele. Those guys look great on paper, but there was no production out of them at all last year. So big payroll last year, no production, smaller payroll this year, and I'm hoping for a lot more production out of them.
Yeah, no, that's really, really great analysis. And we're not even halfway through the show, and I feel like I got a lot. Here's the big question, EJ, and sometimes on many shows, podcasters don't want to start off with this, because, you know, they want to get deeper and deeper into the show. But the real question is, how can the Canes get back in the top 25 AP poll? They're not ranked heading into the season.
I think a big thing will be to make those big games competitive. You saw UNC last year, not competitive. Florida State last year, not competitive. Really, Texas A&M was competitive just because both offenses struggled to that high of a degree. To be nationally recognized, especially from a Miami football program perspective, talking the talk is cool, but walking the walk is what's going to get you back on that national stage, to where Miami has been before. They've shown that they can get there. They've shown that they can stay there consistently. But that's what's going to get them there is, you know, you see the off-season hype videos, you see the green tree, you see everything that goes on in the off season, but translating that to on the field is what's going to put them back. And then of course, not blowing a game to an MTSU, you know, to a Miami of Ohio, to a Duke, even though they have a pretty competent roster this year with Riley Leonard at quarterback, making sure that those games are taken care of, and then making the Florida States, the Clemsons, even if you lose by double digits, make them competitive.
Yeah.
You know, make it something to where they're burning clock at the end of the game to keep you out of the end zone or to keep you out of field goal range. That's what's going to bring Miami back into that relevancy contention, not even top 25, yeah, but just people believing the program has taken that step forward, because for the most part, those games haven't been really relevant for Miami.
Yeah.
And of course the country looks at it and they're like, all right, you can beat Bethune-Cookman, right? You guys, you can beat up on teams of that caliber, and you should. Can you hang with the A&Ms, the Clemsons? You know, now Florida State is obviously relevant. And then of course UNC's been pretty high on people's boards for the past couple of years when they went through the Sam Howell era. So making those games competitive, if you win them, awesome. But I'm a big proponent of 1% better every day. And yeah, for them, it's 1% better every season going forward. And we have to show that we can maintain relevancy in those big games, not just against the Bethune-Cookmans and, you know, the Appalachian States of the world.
Yeah, and that's really great mentality. I don't think, and you would know better than me, I don't think all of the Canes fans have that mentality, because having 6 wins on paper is improving, because they had 5 wins last year. But for any team, this is in any sport, that has such high standards, a very talented history, you can't just get one more win. You need more than that. So with that said, and obviously I think a lot of college football fans are looking forward to the week 0, week 1, whatever, the first game, because it's the Miami matchup. Who's the real Miami? Is it this Miami or is it the Ohio Miami?
You look at some of the best college, the best college roster ever take the field, the 01 Hurricanes, right? Stacked top to bottom. It's no doubt the Hurricanes when you look at the history of the programs, right? That I don't think Miami of Ohio has ever sniffed the grass of a big game, whether it's a New Year's Six Bowl, whether it's a national championship, whether it's having someone go in the first round of an NFL draft aside from Ben Roethlisberger. So when you look at it from that perspective, it is Miami, but we've said the same thing the past couple years, you know, with like, you know, the MTSU game, for example, they blew the lid off of us. And so I'm a realist when it comes to sports. Like I don't overhype my team without having justification for it. Miami of Ohio scares me. They had the 20th best ranked passing offense last year. They were an air raid offense, and their quarterback, who's been talking a lot of noise, says that we're the real Miami, Miami of Ohio. It's based in Ohio. And if I'm Miami, in reality, the country knows, the world knows who the real Miami is, right?
Yeah.
But I still think that Miami has to earn back that title. I think when you look at from a history perspective, we know who the real Miami is. But from the last 5 or 6 years, Miami of Ohio could be the real Miami. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to say that as in I'm putting my team down or anything, because I ride or die for Miami. But at the same time, what product have we put on the field to show that we are the real Miami? You know what I mean? Like we had a trash season last year, a garbage season last year.
Yeah. And with that said, it doesn't get easier. Well, you're an ACC team, so it can't possibly be easy. And if it was, that would be a problem. That means the teams in the ACC would be in a better conference, because look, this is who you're going to face. These are the teams that are ranked right now. You got UNC, Texas A&M, you got Clemson, and then, of course, FSU. It doesn't matter if FSU's ranked or not. FSU's always going to give you the run for your money, because it's that rivalry game. You know about it. It's just a huge game. But Jordan Travis is a Heisman Trophy favorite. Yeah. FSU, I was going to say arguably, it's not even arguable. Right now, the best team in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
Obviously, we cover all Florida teams and FL teams, so that role does matter. And obviously, FSU is just talented all around the field. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the top 5 by the season's end. But I want you to first touch on the big games. Obviously, you're going to touch on the ranked teams, because those are the big games. And then after you're done touching on these big games, touch on your prediction for the Canes' end of the season record.
So, obviously, to me, the biggest game every year is the Florida State game, right? It's without a doubt, it's the biggest game every single season. And even if they are ranked top 5 and we're ranked top 50, you know, are outside the top 25. It's still, aside from last year, there hasn't been too many blowouts back and forth within the last 10 years or so. They've been pretty consistent games within two scores or so. But that being the biggest game is also the one that scares me the most, because there's a lot of recruits out there that are still weighing, you know, do I go Tallahassee? Do I come down to Miami? I'm in the state of Florida. I can put on for either school if I want to. That being the biggest game in my opinion. And then of course, to me, the Texas A&M one speaks volumes, because they play in a conference that no one in the country thinks can be touched, the SEC, right? Every national championship, every college football playoff, there is an SEC team. I mean, you look at Georgia, they could possibly three-peat this year. So I think that's because Texas A&M is predicted to be pretty stout this year. Their defense comes back. They just announced their starting quarterback just a couple days ago. They lost Devin Achane in the draft to the Miami Dolphins this year. But they still have a lot of weapons on the outside. So to me, aside from Florida State, that Texas A&M is the biggest game this year, because it's tone setting to let the country know that we lost last year, but going forward from that last year, Mario's first year, is that we can play with some of the better teams in some of the better conferences. So I'm looking forward to that A&M game being at Hard Rock. And to be honest, last year it wasn't a blowout game. It was a defensive struggle back and forth. Miami missed a couple field goals that could have been field changing games. You know, instead of taking it over at the 40, 45 yard line, you kick it off. So I'm looking at that A&M game on my calendar, aside from Florida State, which Florida State every year, there's a Florida State hate week for Miami fans. You know,
and that's what I said, whether they're ranked or not. But this year, this is going to be one of the toughest.
Yeah. I'm worried about Florida State because, you know, they got Keelan Coleman in the transfer portal. Their running back QB tandem is probably one of the best in the country at this point. But if we can strike early and we can get Travis off his spots and we can make him play through his legs and outside of the pocket, I think we have a better game for ourselves. Obviously, we need consistency out of TVD. And we've got to have a receiver step up. To be honest with you, like, I love Xavier Streppo. I'm a huge Mike Redding fan. But we don't have a wide receiver one right now. And we lost our tight end one last year in Will Mallory. So you're looking for Jaleel Skinner to maintain production from his freshman year last year. You're looking for Elijah Royo to come back healthy this year. And then you're looking for that consistency through the offensive line that we haven't seen in who knows how long.
Yeah, and I think when it comes down to the Canes, it's huge that the game against Texas A&M is not in College Station. I mean, obviously you want every game to be home, but if there's one team that you want to not be at their place, it would be Texas A&M. The Aggies really, really make it hard to win. And that's why, like you said, it was impressive that the Canes made it close. But look, it's going to be much easier
if you go through their schedule, you know, they have Temple, they have Georgia Tech, they have Virginia, they have NC State. Like, those are, I know NC State's usually a pretty competent team, but those are four or five games right there, along with Louisville and Boston College, that if Miami wants to be recognized as a relevant football program, and I'm not even talking about dating back to their 2001, you know, early 1990 day, if they want to be a relevant football program, those are teams that you can't slip up against. If you slip up against a Florida State for now, if you slip up against Clemson, UNC, it's kind of expected because you're probably going to those games as an underdog anyway. But dating back to last year, the MTSUs, those are teams that you cannot slip up against those teams. And you know, Miami being who Miami is, as a fan, you always expect a slip up. You know what I mean? Like you've come to terms with the fact that, oh gosh, is this going to be the one? You know what I mean? Georgia Tech comes to town. Oh gosh, is this going to be the one? You know, NC State, oh God, is this going to be the one? Louisville, oh God, is this going to be the one? So once we can get past that point where it's like Alabama lines up across from Kentucky, you know who the W is going to. Once we get to that and then the big name teams come into town and it's like, okay, now we got a coin flip.
Yeah.
Then we can talk relevancy.
Yeah, definitely. And in terms of taking a big step this year, you need to see something out of Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, whatever you do in your freshman year, you're supposed to do better your sophomore year, then even better your junior year, and then your senior year if you're not already in the NFL draft. But Tyler Van Dyke's freshman year was way better than his sophomore year. And I know he had some injuries, but look, last year was really, really bad. And it obviously contributed to the not success of the Canes, but there were problems all around. But you definitely want to see a big step up for Tyler Van Dyke. What does he have to do this season?
And health. Obviously, like if we rule out health, right? Because that's health is for anybody to have a good season. Health is number one for anyone to have some sort of a good season. You have I know he's got a relationship with Xavier Streppo. They're golf buddies, they're roommates. But the issue the past couple of years was not having enough weapons, right? Colby Young came into the scene this past year, had a good season for being a JUCO transfer. They go out and they pretty much bring in Tyler Harrell, the kid that transferred from Speed Demon, kid that transferred from Alabama. You go sign. You still have Breshard Smith. You bring in Robbie Washington, was a huge get. And then you have, of course, the young kid Ray Joseph, who kind of showed out in the spring game with the twos out there. So they have a stable of running backs. You have Parrish. You have Don Chaney coming back. Unfortunately, Rooster ended up leaving. He went to SMU with his old offensive coordinator. But you know, there's a lot more weapons this year that I think that TVD is going to end up running out of excuses. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I don't have anyone to throw to. You have one of the top tight ends of the country, in Elijah Arroyo. You have a young stud in Jahlil Skinner, who's a mismatch nightmare, outrun a linebacker too big for a safety type of kid. And of course, like when you pair him with the production that Colby Young had last year, who ended up being the deep ball threat that we haven't had, you know, in who knows how long, in my opinion, almost since like Andre Johnson, a big body, big frame, go get it from anywhere receiver. Tyler Harrell obviously is one that can take the top off a defense with his speed. It's going to open up a lot of the middle of the field. So the excuses, health aside, right? Health is aside. Tyler Van, we got to see some consistency from him, and he's got to hit those open targets. He's got to make good reads, and he's got to play patient football, because if that offensive line, if we're just going off of what we've seen the past couple of years, which the term inconsistent and offensive line have been synonymous with each other. If we're going off those terms that we've seen the past couple of years, he's going to have to make reads quick. He's going to have to get through progressions quick. So him being able to make the throws that need to be made, the simple throws that need to be made, and keeping drives alive. Defense was killed the past few years. Offense would have a 30 possession drive. Defense would have a 6 minute drive. You know what I mean? So, and when you go from 30 seconds to 6 minutes, by the third quarter, by the fourth quarter, it's inevitable you break down. And it's, you look at the defense, it's like, man, they're not running, they're not tackling. And it's like, but the other teams had the ball for 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what are you supposed to do at that point? Offense has had the ball for 9 minutes. Other teams had it for 30. People don't really look at it from that perspective, yeah. Which is, it is what it is, but you've got to see the word consistency and TVD have to be one this year. Hopefully Jacoby George really takes another step forward this year. But in my opinion, do we have a bunch of Heisman candidates at receiver? No, but we have a lot of competent athletes at receiver. We have a lot of competent athletes at running back, really good athletes at running back. And we have some really competent athletes at tight end. The personnel, not having the right people in the right places, in my opinion, is gone. We're past that now. So TVD's got to step up. He's got to make plays when they count, the third and threes, you know, to keep drives alive. That stuff's going to matter this year.
Yeah, I completely agree. And obviously he cares about his team, but in a way he needs to care about himself too. Based on his freshman year performance, he's expected to be a top draft pick. And let's say he doesn't do good this season. That's going to be two straight years of not so good quarterback play. He's gonna be in trouble. So look, we want to touch on a few more things. I first want to say, because I wanted to mention this at the beginning, no matter how good the Canes do this season, or no matter how bad they do this season, the future is bright. I am lucky to live in South Florida, and South Florida is known for high school football, and I cover high school football. The Canes even despite having a very bad season last year, are doing amazing recruiting-wise. Lucky enough to meet O.J. Frederike Jr. He is a cornerback from St. Thomas Aquinas, a three-star. He's committed to Miami. And one of the best from Chabadon Madonna, arguably the best, one of the best programs in the state of Florida, Josiah Trader. He's going to be a heck of a running back. You want to see those offensive players because the running backs, the quarterbacks, the wide receivers are the guys that stick out the most. So just wanted to stick that out there because that's positivity. Canes fans, I think, need that because you have a 5-7 season, but you still can recruit so well. EJ, talk about the recruiting this summer. Obviously, I only touched on two players because those are the only two Canes recruits I met, but I want you to touch on just some big guys they notched.
One thing that Mario will not be outdone in, the dude is a disgustingly relentless recruiter. He obviously dating back to when he was on Miami's roster. He has deep ties to South Florida. Being over in Oregon on the West Coast, he has deep ties to the West Coast, Oregon, California, Washington, all those areas down there. So if there's anything that Mario will never fail at, it's recruiting. It's the recruiting trail. You look at some of the kids that he got last year with Nigelique Kelly, some of the kids that we didn't even think he'd get. Nigelique Kelly, Robbie Washington was a decommit at one point. So you look at the steps he's taken forward with this program, and he's getting players that fit what Miami is about, what wearing that logo on the side of your helmet is about, not kids that want to come down here and party on South Beach and live next to the beach and take Instagram pics. He's getting kids that want to grind Green Tree. And when we kick off Friday against Miami of Ohio, he wants kids that live and breathe those moments. And I think that that's one thing he's getting is he's getting those kids that, you know, they say that I put on for my city, I want to make the crib great, which is, again, I'm not a big saying guy, but if that's what it takes to motivate these players to be the potential that Mario sees in them, I'm cool with it. But if there's one thing that Mario won't be outdone in, I mean, look at this, look at what he took over from when Manny was there. He jumped up like 14 recruiting spots in a matter of weeks just by signing. He got the highest rated offensive lineman that's ever been committed to Miami in Francis. So he's doing better than anyone has done in a long time at Miami, obviously dating back to probably like the early 2000s. And that's one thing that he won't be done at. And that's one thing that everyone can have to look forward to is the fact that the future is bright because Mario can recruit. That's one thing he can recruit.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And that's a very good trait to have because you could lose in some things, such as the record, but win in other things. Okay, so before we end this, EJ, I know you wanted to give me your breakout players on both sides of the ball. Let's start with the offensive side of the football. Is there a player that's maybe underrated, many people don't know about, that's going to have a breakout season? Just give me, like, the one player to look out for, the one breakout player, the one underrated guy. Who do we need to look out for, obviously, besides the players that we know for the Canes?
So okay, I'll give you kind of a freshman that I think is going to do more than what we think they'll do. Yeah. And then another player that will take the reins of something that maybe we didn't expect him to take the reins. I think Mark Fletcher, even though that running back group is extremely deep, watch this kid run, man. He's a towering running back. He runs with great pad level. He's more than a one cut back for being the size that he is. I think he's close to 6'1", 215, 220 pounds. He's been eating into a lot. And obviously with Don Chaney, I don't think he's 100% yet. They're probably still kind of integrating him. I'm sure he's going to be ready come Friday. But being that size and having those intangibles and being able to move the way he does and read the way he does, we're going to see, I think we see more snaps from him than what we anticipated. And the offensive player that I love him, man. I'm going with Elijah Arroyo. I love the things that we saw out of him. He's a better blocker than Will Mallory was. So you can put him in heavy sets. If it is a third and one, if it is a fourth and inches, you can put him in heavy sets and make sure that he seals an edge for you. And he's a great dude. The kid runs like a deer too. For being his size and being as built as he is, the kid can run. So those are my two offensive players. I think that Mark Fletcher is going to eat into some time in that backfield more so than what people may anticipate for being a freshman, because we do have a loaded backfield. We have AJ Allen, the transfer running back. We have Parrish and we have Don Chaney. So for Mark Fletcher to be able to jump into that, it speaks volumes, because those are three extremely competent running backs that Mark Fletcher may take snaps from. And then if we go to the defensive side of the ball, I'm a big Akeem Mesidor fan. I think him and Leonard Taylor are going to wreak absolute havoc this year. And I say breakout. He was probably one of their better pass rushers last year. But I think he's going to take his game to the next level this year. And I think a lot of it's because of the attention that Leonard Taylor grabs. You have to double team the dude. He's an absolute freak, an absolute monster in the middle of that defensive line, of that interior defensive line. And Akeem Mesidor, man, he is so great at getting his hands on an offensive lineman and keeping them from getting their hands on him. And then from a rookie perspective, I say it more so from a newcomer perspective, Jadaeus Richard. He is the transfer corner from Vandy. Long, lanky kid, plays man real well, loves to come up and hit, loves to come up and play the run. Sticky style defender. He's got fluid hips. I'm looking for him to really make a leap this year and maybe slide into that heavy cornerback one role that we've been looking for. I mean, really since Trajan Bandy left back in Mark Richt's days, when he picked off Ian Book back when they played Notre Dame and they smacked Notre Dame, you know, in Hard Rock. So I'm really, really happy about Jadaeus Richard. I got to see him some when he played at Vanderbilt. So I had a small idea of the sample that Miami was getting when they landed him in the transfer portal. He's not a freshman, but he's a newcomer, which is kind of the same thing as a freshman. So I'm going Jadaeus Richard as my sleeper defensively.
Awesome. This has been really great analysis, EJ. I hope you can make it out to a Canes game. I know we discussed that before the show. And if you can, I hope the Canes will. Again, check out FL Teams, flteams.com. We'll get you all you need sports news in the state of Florida, both college and professionally. Look, the NFL is coming back and college football is coming back. We're going to be busy with content. It's football season. You'll see EJ with Canes coverage every week. And then he'll be doing a lot of NFL stuff this year. He's a Titans guy, but we'll have him jump in here and there because he knows his stuff when it comes to football in general. EJ, any final thoughts, my man?
Before everyone starts hating, I am a huge Reuben Bain fan. I think he's going to eat into a lot of snaps on the defensive line. My Jadaeus Richard pick was because we haven't seen someone take over that cornerback spot in so long. I'm a big Wesley Bissaint fan. I think he's going to take over that linebacker spot. I think he's going to be the next big name that comes through, you know, along with the Denzel Perrymans and the linebackers we've seen as of late. But I don't want anyone to hate me out there. I am a big Reuben Bain fan. I'm a big Wesley Bissaint fan. I just think that we haven't seen a solid cornerback one in so long. I'm excited for what I've seen from Richard.
Awesome analysis, EJ. Again, thank you so much for coming on. We can't wait to hear more from you for the Canes and for the NFL coverage we have here on flteams.com. Again, EJ Farbman, our Miami Hurricanes contributor, joining myself, Isaac Edelman, founder of FL Teams. Thanks so much for watching. And again, make sure to follow @FLTeams on social media. Go Canes!